It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill.
I would rather be the White Sox.
Shut up.
Hey, Flim's going to join us later today. Dave Fleming, 8 o'clock, River Island's Guest Live. Matt Lively, KPIX, 8:30. Who would you rather be, the White Sox or the Giants? They're both missing out on the playoffs. One stinks. One stinks even more. One smells. One's historically bad. Hey. If you're going to be bad, you might as well make history, baby. Get yourself in the record books. Oh, baby. Oh, baby, the White Sox stink. Giants, they don't stink right now. They've won two straight in Baltimore. That's for sure. And we'll see if the 49ers or Rams, who's going to stink less on Sunday at SoFi Stadium. We got injury reports. We got a lot of fun stuff going on today. Oh, baby, good morning to everybody out there. Good after graveyard shift if you're at work. What is happening? Shout out to YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online. Or just ask for a First NorCal financing at the dealer once you get there. Come on, that's a great, great deal. As well as flowing water, plumbing, and drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by flowing water, plumbing, and drain. We have another rendition of Shanahan and McVay. Shanahan and McVay, McVay and Shanahan. And I'm looking forward to this one as a Rams. Who the hell? They may shoot you up, Joe Shasky. They may call you to run the slot. You ready to run some routes out the slot? How's your Achilles feeling?
Yeah, I'm good off of running any. That's my favorite when someone's like, huh, I could catch a pass in an NFL game. It's like, no, you can't.
No, you can't.
Like, no, you can't. Not at all. No, I'm not ready to run a route, even though I played a little ball last night. What I will say, though, is I read some interesting articles this morning. Some very interesting articles this morning regarding offense, quarterbacks, you know, the Shanahan effect. It was a league-wide article about the percentage of throws at or behind the line of scrimmage. And mm-hmm. I found it to be quite interesting. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in Ninerland right now. We have people breaking down offensive line film left and right, trying to identify what the problem is. We've got, you know, safety gate, as I call it, where we have Malik Mustafa coming in for two series. And did he get benched? Did he not get benched regarding George Odom, even though he finished the game out there? There's a lot going on right now. And you got McVay and Shanahan as a backdrop. And I find this to be very fascinating.
Yeah, it is very fascinating. So the article, you know, you see a lot of quarterbacks. So let me guess, there's a lot more throws at the line of scrimmage. A lot of people love to play the quick game, right? The quick game is what they call it. The comeback routes, the hitches, the wide receiver screens, the bubble screens. Just get the ball out as fast as you can and give your playmakers a chance to make a play.
Yeah, right now, if you're just looking at throws at or behind the line of scrimmage, 24% of the league, of all throws, are at or behind the line of scrimmage. And teams that are leading the way, for example, the New Orleans Saints, Derek Carr right now, 39% of his passes are at or behind the line of scrimmage, which makes sense when you have an Alvin Kamara and you have Kubiak, who's a Shanahan disciple, running that team. It is the highest percentage with the least amount of air yards since 2006. Now, it's a small sample. It's a couple weeks into the year. But what you're seeing is a variety of things. Patrick Mahomes is high on this list right now.
Yep.
38% of his throws are at or behind the line of scrimmage. Do you know who's not at the top of the list?
Brock Purdy.
Do you know where Brock Purdy stands?
I would say he's probably in the 20s there.
Nope. Brock Purdy throws the least amount of passes right now at or behind the line of scrimmage in the NFL. 11% of his throws this year, which is a variation from years past. And, you know, the Shanahan effect has basically, you know, that they've kind of created what we're seeing.
How many of those throws are between 1 and 5 yards? How many of those throws are between 5 and 10 yards?
Basically,
because last year, Brock Purdy did lead the league in yards per attempt. Brandon Ayuk was second in the league in yards per catch.
This is this year.
Right. I know. I understand that. But I'm saying this is just a continuation of what happened last year. where Brock Purdy was second in the league in yards per attempt.
Well, last year you looked at a guy who just balanced it out a little more, and I think there's a CMC conversation, there's an offensive line conversation, there's a Debo Samuel conversation. So, for example...
But he was second in yards per attempt last year, right?
No doubt, correct? But his yards per attempt are down this year, even though his throws at the line of scrimmage are almost non-existent. It's so crazy. Like, he's holding onto the ball longer. They're trying to get routes more down the field. No,
and he's not checking it down.
No.
He doesn't check his check downs.
No, and they're not running plays for him at the line of scrimmage.
And I mean, we've seen a couple jet sweeps with Debo or whatnot. I mean, not jet sweeps, bubble screens. Mm-hmm. But he's not checking it down to Jordan Mason. That was the big takeaway I have from the Minnesota game. He was so confused out there, Shanahan and Purdy, that with the blitzers coming and the free rushers coming or whatnot, and a few times he tried to get the ball out quick and he got a batted at the line of scrimmage. Jordan Mason, again, I go back to 49er Frankie. Shout out to 49er Frankie Guru's boy from Union City. Goes, check out the first third down. And I didn't make it the third down because I was stuck on second down saying, boy, you had Jordan Mason out there in the left flat. He had a blocker right in front of him. Maybe you get 10 yards right there. Then on third down, you force fit it to Debo Samuel and you don't check it down to Jordan Mason. So that's interesting to me. Last year, his yards per attempt, second in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But his yards per attempt this year are down, even though he leads the league in yards per attempt. So what it's telling me is that the defenses are just ahead of the offenses. And right now, a lot of offenses don't have a lot of trust in their offensive lines, and they're just trying to get the ball out quick as possible, give their playmakers a chance to play. Because right now, what do they say about the NFL? There's so much space to play with these days, with all the spread formations and all the motions and the pre-snap motions and all the pre-snap reads, that you're getting the ball out so damn fast. And that's kind of the college game. The college game has been like that for a while, where you get some teams who like to stretch the field out, but you get a lot of teams that just wants to get the ball out quick and just, hey, go make a play, go get me 7, go get me 8.
You know, it's no doubt about it that weak offensive lines are a huge part of this, right? But how do you quantify that? You just look at the drafts and look at how many defensive linemen are taken in the first round versus how many offensive linemen. And people are reaching for offensive linemen, but if you just look at the hit rate right now, look around the league. Every team has a really good pass rusher. Some teams have two, yep. You know? And so the other element of this, B, is, and I find this to be odd, pressure rates in the NFL are lower, but sacks are way up. So guys are holding on to the ball in certain scenarios. Yeah. And when you hold on to the ball to allow a route to go down, well, they're going to get you, yeah, right? They're going to get you. So they're negating the pressure by getting rid of it quickly on a lot of scheme-specific throws. But then when they hold the ball, defenses have never been better at actually sacking you, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on here. But it's not so much about the quarterbacks. And I want to loop this into the 49ers defense and just their strategy. Everyone in the league tried to go single high safety, Seattle defense, okay?
Cover three scheme.
They tried single to high, go cover three. Seattle defense. Now, we know that the 49ers have basically ran that exclusively the last couple of years. But right now, the biggest trend that you're seeing and why people are throwing underneath more than ever is that almost everyone outside of the Niners is playing two high safeties. Now, are there a couple of times and teams that are running single high safety? Yes. But a lot of teams are dropping two back, and they're saying, we are not going to give up the big chunk play. We're going to force you to go on 12, 13, 14 play drives to be able to score because we think we can get a stop. If we give up the big chunk play, that flips field position, and your chance of scoring dramatically increases. And I'm just thinking, like, wow. The Niners' whole strategy, they want to have great corners, but they've really not, they haven't invested in like a ball hawking safety. That's not what they look for.
Talanoa Hufanga was a ball hawk a couple years ago with the seven, eight picks, and he made it all pro team. So he had a nose for the football, although they didn't invest heavily into the safety position because of his draft status. But, you know, you re-signed Jimmy Ward. I know they moved him to nickel in his last season, but he was a damn good safety for the 49ers. Antoine Pathé was here for a while. But look, I'm trying to think just Pete Carroll, right? Single high safety.
Mm-hmm.
Gus Bradley, single high safety. Mm-hmm. How many of those D coordinators are in the league that ran that scheme?
Oh, they were all over the place, but they're trying to, people are to show variations.
Dan Quinn, but that, you know, somebody, was it Eli? It was somebody 3 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, maybe 2 years ago. I remember reading something, and they were saying how the cover three scheme, teams have figured that out already. It's kind of like the old Tampa 2, mm-hmm. where everybody was running to Tampa 2, and all of a sudden everybody started picking apart the Tampa 2, and everybody adjusted. They went to the single high safety. Now, when you go to the single high safety and you have corners, they had Richard Sherman. They had Browder on the other side.
I mean, elite players.
I mean, elite corners, big physical guys who are 6'3", that could get their hands on you, press you, and then get back into their zones and get back into their drops. Now, you got to have the right personnel to do that. You got to have a Cam Chancellor to do that. You got to have Earl Thomas to do that. So, but there's not a lot of teams who had that personnel, and not a lot of teams who are running that single high safety. That's been a little outdated.
Yes.
But you also have to have great pass rushers when you do run that. Now, at times, the Niners will switch it up, and you'll see some two high safeties. You'll see them run that at times. You see it with D'Amico. You see it with Robert Saleh at times. So you'll see variations of it, because if you stick in a single high safety all game long, you're going to get torched. If you stick in man all day long, you're going to get torched. If you stick in zone all day long, you're going to get torched. So you got to mix it up here. What I think the overall theme is, I go back to my theory, and Kirk Morrison shot this down when I was talking to him the other day, and he's going to join us tomorrow at 7:20 on the Morning Roast. But I still believe in my heart of hearts that not playing a lot in the preseason and these scrimmages that you're doing, I still think it has an effect on the first month of the season. And I think moving forward here over the next couple of weeks, you'll start to see some teams start to open up and get the ball down the field, because you can't live throwing the ball at the line of scrimmage all day long. You're going to have to take some shots.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of things going on all at once. And your point about like how the league shifts and changes and all that, so true. Like, you're just going to see it's always cyclical. I just look at the Niners and their philosophy, and they love the box safeties, meaning guys that are going to kind of help in the support of the run game. And like, Talanoa and Tig are very similar in that sense. But I go back to that big chunk play, and that's why that Justin Jefferson play was such a dagger. Chunk plays are hard to come by. That was my big thing. Chunk plays are hard to come by. And when you give one up in a game, it is the difference nowadays, because it's so hard to blow off a 30, 40, 50-yard type of a touchdown. I mean, think about week one for the Dolphins when they're getting bottled up, and boom, Tyreek Hill, 80-yard touchdown. Those are daggers. And conversely, it feels like the Niners offensively haven't had a lot of those explosive-type plays.
You know, having Talanoa Hufanga back, who's expected to play on Sunday, and that's huge news.
I think it's
huge news. Also heard that once Dre Greenlaw's eligible to return from injured reserve, there's a chance he may step right up and be into the lineup. Like, he's ahead of schedule here with his progress. But I look at Talanoa Hufanga, who got hurt, torn his ACL November the 19th against Tampa Bay in that tough game against Baker Mayfield a couple of days, won that 27-14. Early in the process without Hufanga, you could notice the deficiencies in the run game in terms of run defense. But in the playoffs, it reared its ugly head with Aaron Jones and the Green Bay Packers, David Montgomery, Jameer Gibbs, Jamison Williams, the Detroit Lions. And at times, in the Super Bowl, they shut down the run for the most part. But, you know, Mahomes got his quarterback keepers on, and he has some big plays scrambling there. But they missed Hufanga in the run game.
Big time.
And Minnesota had their way in the run game this past Sunday with Ty Chandler, Aaron Jones a little bit. Darnold had a big scramble before halftime. So getting Hufanga back, who has a knack. Yeah, he'll miss a tackle here and there. He may get beat on some coverage, but he has a knack to make the it play from the secondary. And that's what they're missing at the safety spot right now. They need a guy who can make that it play. It could be a factor. You know what? Hufanga's got the nose for the ball. I'm excited to see how he moves around out there. I think this is a soft landing spot against the LA Rams, who's got Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua out for this week, and they're going to be out for a few weeks here. Nacua's going to be out longer. We'll see about Cooper Kupp. He's not on IR yet. But having Hufanga back and having that nose for the football, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be good. And I think this too, the speed at the safety position. They need a little more athleticism for the free safety spot.
I completely agree. Safety spending from year to year was down $100 million in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And if you look at defensive line spending, it's up, right? And so never has it been harder to get a good contract relative to the league as a safety, and never has it been easier relative to the league as a defensive lineman to be overpaid. The 49ers defensive line, 23 pressures through two games. Now, I told you, pressures are just down in general. But the Niners are in the bottom third of the league in terms of pressures. So I do think, and it's the same talking points from last year, the connectivity from the back end of the defense and the front end and how they're helping each other and complementing each other, they're a tick off right now. And it's only two games. Let's see. Like, if we have pass rush problems against this offensive line of the Rams, against this team that's playing a bunch of people who would be in street clothes otherwise. They got four different linemen who would be of their top six that are probably not going to play. You got to get to the quarterback here.
So I went back yesterday and watched the game again, right? Just cleaned up some things before I fully move on to the Rams. And I know what the Rams are going to bring to the table. But when we talk about team speed, pressures, face down situations, Devondre Campbell was getting isolated, and he just, I don't like his movement skills, right? So there's that factor. And then you get Leonard Floyd, who I like Leonard Floyd as a pass rusher. I think he's going to complement Bosa very well. But in base down situations, you may have to think about subbing out Leonard Floyd
for
and
who?
Just using him as a third down specialist. And you may have to go to Yeter Gross Matos on base down situations. First down, second down, to play against the run. I think Gross Matos is better against the run right now than Leonard Floyd is. Leonard Floyd was invisible, and he's light. He's a light guy. So when you can't, remember Von Miller at times, he would struggle against the run. Even though he's a great, great pass rusher, he had to learn to use his leverage, get low, to defend the run. Well, Leonard Floyd is just a different type of guy. So I think in base down situations, I wouldn't be shocked if the Niners tinkered by throwing in Gross Matos in on first down, the play gets the run, and use Leonard Floyd as, hey, we know we got to get to the quarterback. Get in there and go get the quarterback. Because watch this. If the Rams start running the ball very well with Kyron Williams on early down situations, they're probably going to run it at Leonard Floyd. And that could be a problem moving forward here. So it's just what can you do to maximize your roster? What can you do to maximize your personnel? Gross Matos, is he the greatest pass rusher in the world? I don't think so. But maybe you use him in baseball situations to maximize him and have him play against the run on early down situations.
That's kind of disappointing, though, for the Leonard Floyd. You know, like, they bring him in. I thought he'd be a guy that could be a three-down player for them.
I don't think he's never really been that.
Long-term, they're going to have to find some sort of they got to find somebody opposite Bosa. And look, Bosa's got to do his thing no matter what, but they do need to find somebody on that other end. Like, that's...
Well, yeah. I get your point.
It's something I'm going to be keenly aware of. I'm going to be looking for it this weekend.
So, I love, you know, we think about the New York Giants. And we'll get to the Hall of Fame finalists. They got 167. No, I don't think Eli Manning is a first ballot Hall of Famer. The guy, yeah, what? Love it? Yeah, I know. Dude had double digit interceptions like three times, led the league. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Joe Namath had more interceptions.
He's
going
to get into the Hall of Fame, but yeah. You know what? But I'm just looking at their pass rush when they had it on third downs. They went to their little NASCAR pass rush, uh-huh. Right? It was Justin Tuck and OCU Mignora, Michael Strahan, and who's JPP.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe the Niners need their variation with the thin D line that I think is very thin. And I've been worried about the depth and edge all season long, training camp right now. But how do you maximize these guys? Because Leonard Floyd, you watch it back, man, it's not a good tape. He's a better player than what he showed Sunday in Minnesota, and I think he could be a really good player. You don't get double-digit sacks every single year. However, if that's what you are, then I got to find somebody on early down situations. So is it Yeter Gross Matos on early down situations? No, it's not Robert Beal. You know what I'm saying? So it's just something I'm looking for to maybe shore up the run game, slow down the run, and then you bring back Hufanga, and then you got some speed on the pass rush on third down. I don't know. You got to tinker something here, though, moving forward.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now, and I feel like there's actually a lot of pressure on Sorensen this week. And I know that, you know, the boss is like, DC, defensive coordinator. I think Niner fans are ready to heat up anybody when the results aren't what they're looking for.
We need a win.
I agree.
As a fan base, it just feels like people are just angry and are looking for any reason to get angry. Where I'm looking for, like, I'm thinking, like, this is a monster week three. You get a win, you get the 2-1, you get the Patriots the next week, you get the 3-1, then it sets up a monster four-game stretch before the bye week to where maybe you get the 5-3 or 6-2, and you're still going to be in the mix for home field advantage. But it just feels like Niner fans just looking for something to be angry about every single week. I'm like, man, there were some positives on Sunday. There was some positives.
Well, there's, trust me. Of course there was, but you know, there's no loss that's a good one. I mean, we're not a rebuilding team, but I think the bigger issue is the dauber's down for certain Niner fans because CMC and Debo are out. I get that. I do. I get those are two of the most popular players, you know, that the team has had in 20 years.
It feels like it's been down from day one since training camp.
Well,
it's been because of the hold-ins and hold-outs and everything like that. It's, hey, man, let's go, man. It's week three. It's Rams week. Is this still a rivalry? Is this still a rivalry? Anybody getting up for Rams week? It's going to be about 70% Niner fans down to SoFi. It's going to be a home game. It's going to be a home game. There's a lot to celebrate. All right, more coming up here as we talk Rams Niners on the Morning Roast, brought to you by Life Source Water System.
Hey, it's Jaime from San Pablo, and you're listening to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yo, Joe, stop interrupting!
That's why I just want to zoom in on Joe's face. I just want to zoom in on Joe's face.
I'm fine.
No, you're not.
I get nervous playing that one sometimes.
I don't know why you play it.
It's just a joke, but I understand how
it derails him, man.
I'm fine. It doesn't derail me.
I like Brock Purdy. I'm fine. It was the meme with the face. I'm happy with Brock Purdy. There's the angry face, and there's another face in showing that you're happy. And
the mask. The mask. Meme.
Yeah, the mask meme. The mask meme. Where you got the mask, and inside you're like, I'm going to call somebody for playing that drop. I am happy with Brock Purdy. I am happy with Brock Purdy. I am happy with Brock Purdy.
You know, I'm not sure, like, love Brock. I'm not sure where I'm at with Brock for this year. It feels like the coach. No. Just let me lay this out. It just like when I'm looking at some of this advanced stuff, it just feels like the coach isn't doing him any favors. And this isn't an indictment on Purdy. It's like the offense as a whole has just been a little clunky. And I think it's early on. I think obviously not having a lot of your guys during the preseason has affected them. I think their offensive line is a work in progress. They haven't played a lot of football together. You know, Donovan Pooney is new. Colt McKibbitz isn't the greatest. Jake Brendel isn't the greatest, though I think they're serviceable. We're crushing them. I think they're serviceable. I think we kind of ripped the O-line, and it's like, I think they're league average, let's just say, right? Trent is obviously a great player. He had a bad game. Aaron Banks, you know, there was a time last year, I'm like, they're definitely going to sign him, and now I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. You know, and I still like the player, but, you know, he's been in and out of the lineup for the first two games. But I'm looking at, like, some of the play calls that are going on. I just don't see a lot of easy throws right now for Brock Purdy. And I look at the coach who's a schematic, you know, a very smart schematic play caller, and it just feels like they're all just a little tick off right now, and it's early, it's two games, but I'd like to see some easier pass plays for my quarterback just to get him rhythmic and get him going and get the ball moving. And you know, I'd like to see some plays that kind of highlight George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk early in the game to get them going. I think the run game will still be in their back pocket and lean on Jordan Mason as the game goes on.
I think some of that's on Brock though. To watching last game, some of that was on Brock. There were some easy throws there to be had. There were some guys who were breaking open. But there was a couple factors. And one of them was the Minnesota Vikings getting home. You know, he did get sacked six times. A couple of them were on Brock. A couple were on that offensive line. Holding on to the ball. Also staring down wide receivers. He stared down Debo on the first throw down in the game. Stared him down all the way. Stared down Juszczyk on the pick. He's staring down wide receivers right now. So some of that is on Brock Purdy. I think the plays are there to be had. The checkdowns are there to be had. Shout out to 49er Frankie for the tip, because I want to say, ooh, there's a checkdown. Ooh, there's a checkdown. Ooh, there's a checkdown. And Jordan Mason got the jugs machine for a reason. He bought the jugs machine for a reason, knowing that I'm going to be used a little bit more. I'm going to need to use my hands. I'm going to go work out with Fred Warner, learn how to catch a football. And so guys were wide open. Guys were open. Ayuk broke open a couple times. So some of this is on Brock, and it's very early. Trent Williams did not have a great game. I still think Shanahan has dialed up some damn good plays. The run game is cooking. So, look, this is a get-right game, I think. I truly believe that facing this wounded dog in the L.A. Rams, whose injury report is just a mess. I mean, Cooper Kupp's not going to play. Nate Boom's on IR. Their offensive line is, they put a couple more offensive linemen on IR yesterday. This is a game that Brock Purdy can get off and get his rhythm back, whether it's checking it down, finding guys wide open, and it's offensive line has to be a little bit better. But I think Shanahan, you know, I think Shanahan has been fine for the most part. The Shanahan heat, and you know, I've had my ways with Shanahan. I have my thing with Shanahan sometimes. But it is wild to me how many people 2 games in are just all over Shanahan. All over him. Like the game has passed him by or something.
Well, I just think that's the nature of the NFL. But like this guy in particular, yeah, he runs the show. I mean, the buck does stop with him.
Don't players have to execute, though?
Of course. And we crush players. I mean, like, look online. Like, talk to your friends. Brett Nye drops a pass, and people lose their minds.
Yeah,
and,
I'm not going online with it.
You know, Brock Purdy, you text 10 friends about Brock Purdy, you get 6 think he's great, 4 think he's going to get exposed. Like, you know, it's just, I think that's the nature of Niner fandom and Niners in general. But, like, Kyle Shanahan is very unique in the sense that he runs, like, everything. You know, and I think that when you are the play caller and the head coach, and it feels like you've got, I would just say, veto power on, when it comes to like the roster and all the decisions and everything, like you're very important. And so I think you're going to be a lightning rod for criticism when the team falls short.
Yeah, I mean, look, Brian Flores for the second year in a row has been in his back against Kyle Shanahan and his scheme. They've unlocked something against the 49ers with their blitz package scheme, and they confused the hell out of them. But it wasn't like the Niners didn't move the ball on Sunday. They moved the ball. They just, you know, turnover on downs. You throw a pick. You get a block. You get a punt blocked.
You don't score in the red zone.
That's been the issue, not scoring in the red zone. And maybe that's the Christian McCaffrey factor. Maybe not having Christian McCaffrey. Now all of a sudden you got to find some guys who are going to score touchdowns. Think about how many touchdowns McCaffrey scored last year. How many touchdowns Debo scored last year. Now you're not going to have Debo for a few weeks. So
they scored like 60 touchdowns as an offense. Like
33 of 60 Debo and McCaffrey.
More than half.
I saw that from Grant Cohn.
Did he put that out too?
Yeah, I saw that from Grant. So
that was in the Athletic article that I read.
Oh, okay. So anyway, you don't have your touchdown makers, but Kyle's been fine, and I think Brock's going to be fine. Look, Brian Flores, I'm very interested in seeing what that Houston Vikings game is talking about on Sunday. How C.J. Stroud navigates that scheme, that system down in Houston. It'd be Bobby Slowick, who's a disciple of Kyle Shanahan. It's kind of the same rhetoric, right? The same kind of scheme, as they say. And Brian Flores has been ahead of that scheme. He's been able to bottle that scheme up. So if they go out there and kick Houston's ass, and they go out there and snuff Houston out, then man, maybe we got to start elevating Minnesota as a team that we didn't know about, that we didn't have high expectations for. But I think Kyle and Purdy are going to be fine. It's week 2. We're going into week 3. The whole damn league is damn near running Kyle's scheme. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think the game is passed by. I don't think he's overrated at all. I think players just have to execute. And Trent Williams has to block. He has to execute. McKivitt's got to be on the same page. He's got to block. They've got to start playing well together as a unit. And it's going to take some time because guys were in and out of camp.
No doubt. But you're asking, like, why people, you know, criticize Kyle.
Well, I know why. But the heat this year just feels like, oh, he better win or else what?
Well, okay.
Or else what?
No one's saying
he'll be back
firing,
next
but,
year.
But is that, I feel like McVay, you know, when you talk about the Rams, first sentence, McVay, you bring McVay up. So I think there's just certain coaches that you associate because of how much control they have on play-to-play, you know, roster construction, things like that. So, yeah, I think Kyle's a very unique individual, and he's got the last name that everybody knows. Like, if I said Rich Gannon, for example, who's running Arizona, most people don't even know who I'm talking about. What's about Kyle Shanahan? There's name recognition. You've seen his face for a decade. You know, people know who he is. So I think that he is a lightning rod. You know, fair or not, I just think that that's what it is. And when they win, though, Bonte, like, everyone's like, Kyle's smart. He's really, really smart. I know people don't like hearing the genius word. So, you know, I think the guy's a freaking awesome coach.
Yeah,
is he perfect? No, but neither was Belichick. Neither was Bill Walsh.
Yeah, Jonathan Gannon down in Arizona.
Rich Gannon.
I said Todd Gannon. Gannon. We
you
both
know
got
who
that
I
one,
meant,
but
though.
Jonathan Gannon. Yeah, no, and they've had a big game. But look, overall, week 3 is going to be fascinating. fascinating. There's going to be a lot of movers and shakers this week. There's going to be a lot of good games, a lot of low matchups here, a lot of early tests here. But look, Kyle's got his flaws, but Brock has got his flaws. And it just feels like it does it, to me, when I do look online, because I try not to dive deep into it because everybody wants to be an all-22 genius, and they grew an all-22 for me. The only all-22 I'm watching is Baldies. All right? That's it. And other guys who play in the league. I'm not watching all-22s from dudes on their couch in the state of Florida saying, hey, this guy missed this reader, this guy missed this block. What? What the hell do you know about football?
I don't think you need to play in the league to know what you're doing. Like Greg Cosell did, and I think he knows this stuff.
But there's a lot of couch potatoes.
Your point is well taken.
22, you know what I'm saying?
Like, shouldn't play in the league.
I don't know what Brock's primary is on the first down when he's going through his reads. I don't know what his secondary read is, so I'm not going to guess. I'm not sure where O-lineman is supposed to slide. Only they know that within that scheme here. But Feliciano had a tweet yesterday. That was pretty funny. That I want to get into, as well as Rams Niners. We'll get into McVay and Shanahan. 888-957-9570. But overall, what I was getting to is it feels like people walk on the eggshells when it comes to criticizing Brock or saying that, hey, he had a subpar game, or hey, he missed the street. Hey, he's not perfect. Like, it's okay. Brock had a subpar game on Sunday. It's okay to say it out loud. Now I'm looking forward to bounce back. Let's get into it here. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. I'm having a meltdown.
Hey, check this out. This is
San Leandro
Mo, and you're listening to
95.7
The Game, The Morning
Roast
with Fontaine and Shaq.
All right, this segment is sponsored by Go to St. Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStLumber.com. We just saw Justin Jefferson score a 97-yard touchdown. Right? 97-yard touchdown on Sunday. Niners were single high safeties, right? Single high? Odom at the line of scrimmage? So a lot of people are clamoring for the deep shot, deep shot, deep shot, deep shot. Hell, I want the Niners to take a couple deep shots. I do. But I want folks to listen to this Mel Kiper Jr. sound. And I'll give you my take on the sound. You could just look at my face. Mel Kiper, this game is passing by. Dude lost his fastball 15 years ago, but it's all good. He's still stealing checks from ESPN. What was that, Sasuke?
Just Sam Lubman, mark the tape. Dismissal of the year on deck here.
No. We're gonna play the sound, and I want fans to react to this.
Kiper Jr. is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
In what?
In the media game, he created the draft.
Oh, good for him. He didn't create the draft. He created the draft specialist.
He created the mock draft.
Exactly. Thank you, Sam.
Mock draft.
Look, no, okay, he might be a little long in the tooth. That I will grant you. Awesome. Okay,
I think he belongs in Canton.
I agree. Yeah. I think he's had such a positive effect on how we love the game of football. It is a 365 sport because of people like him.
He's had a positive effect on the draft stuff. I give him that.
Okay.
I'll give him that.
All right.
I'll give him that. Hall of Fame or whatever. Okay. But here's Mel Kiper Jr. Here's Mel Kiper Jr. Coming up, he thinks offenses need to be more explosive. And he thinks offense football right now is boring. So, Roasters, I want you to listen to this. Listen to it very, very closely. I'm going to sit back for a second because I can't believe what I just listened to during the break. This is unbelievable. Here's Mel Kiper Jr. on what the NFL should do.
Well, I grew up with the best of the National Football League, 60s, 70s, into the 80s. You're talking about deep shots, right? The go route, the nine route post. You're talking about Terry Bradshaw in a Super Bowl hitting John Stallworth. You see Leroy Irvin diving, right? Just off his fingertips. There's the receiver. They laid it out there, right? Hit the receiver in stride. 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay? Check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica. You know, you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts. You think about those quarterbacks that would throw the ball down the field. I said what Bradshaw did was Stallworth and Swan, Roger Staubach. That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the quarterbacks, right? The Mel Blunt rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Two, I couldn't even find us. They're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing, and we got to have, hey, you can warn them. Enough radio. They come up. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties, but you got to figure out. Competition committee, somebody, Dano, somebody's got to figure out what that depth is, but it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safeties.
I love the young people.
I swear to God, that felt like I was sitting around Thanksgiving dinner after we've eaten, and it's my uncle just going on a rant about how the 70s were better than everything. You know what, though? I know you're about to, your head's about to explode. Here's what I would say, though. The NFL, more than any other league, has made in-season and year-to-year adjustments on their rules, like just crazy rules all the time. And I think that that's part of the beauty of the NFL is they're always evolving. And so they've always kind of been at the forefront, whether it's the extra point and kind of tinkering with that, the five-yard bump. There's just so many elements that they've added. The protection of quarterbacks, headhunting over the middle. I mean, I saw a highlight package yesterday from Dante Whitner to Sean Golson. These guys would be put in San Quentin for the way that they played football. And I love those two players. So I think on one level, the league is always looking to try to make the game more consumable for the television audience, which is why they're so popular. But on the other level, you know, this does feel like an overreaction to a couple of weeks. Now, maybe this is something he's been viewing for weeks and weeks and years on end, and it's his opinion. I'm not mad at him.
Can you write the history of the NFL without Mel Kiper Jr. and mentioning him?
I don't think you can.
Oh, I can. When I think about the history of the league, Mel Kiper Jr. does not pop into my brain cells.
If I say like, NFL draft, the first name I think of is Mel Kiper.
No, I don't think of Mel Kiper. Okay. I don't think of Mel Kiper. That's just me. All right, number two, saying that the NFL should ban too high safeties. The NFL should ban too high safeties.
Adam, it's too much for me.
You already know what I think.
What do you think?
Do we need to cater to offenses even more? We've already done that in this league. We tried to make this league so offensive-friendly because everybody wants a 45-42 game. Everybody wants a 41-38 game. Nobody can stand a 20-17 game. Nobody can stand a 17-13 game, hard-hitting, good tackling, shutting down the run. No, it's too boring. We need points. And now we got people in the NBA complaining about points, and too much scoring. Well, you guys all bitched and moaned about scoring, and you want offense. So now, we want to ban two high safeties. This guy's on my television telling me to ban two high safeties in the NFL. Well, make an adjustment, teams. Play them out of their two-man look. Run the ball down their damn throats. They want to play two high safeties 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. This is insane. This is just insanity. I went in and I did look at Twitter, and the first thing that popped up was Eric Crocker like, what is this guy smoking? Like, it's just, and I couldn't, and it's like NFL players are here thinking like, this might be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Stick to analyzing college prospects. Don't worry about the game, Mel Kiper Jr. Who cares what you watched in the 60s and 70s? Things evolve. They evolve.
I thought you loved those 70s Raiders.
I do love the 70s, but I'm saying, Mel Kiper Jr., relax. Stick to what you know, which is getting mock drafts wrong and evaluating talent. This guy's the next best thing ever. The guy plays one game. Like, Mel Kiper, shut the hell up.
Well, we all have some draft picks that we would like to call back.
Oh, my God.
But, Bonte, let me play devil's advocate, even though I don't really even believe it. But let me just do it.
Don't do it for fun. Don't do it for fun. No, because you don't even believe it.
What do you mean?
You're not even going to believe it.
Has eliminating the hand check in basketball created a more watchable product?
That was 25 years
ago.
I'm
just asking.
It was 25 years
ago. I'm just asking.
It was a long time ago.
Okay. All right.
It was a long time ago.
All right. What about banning the shift in baseball? Has that made the game a little better? Has the pitch clock made the game a little better?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I think it's been smashing success, and the television people love it. And I feel like
The pitch clock's been fine.
I think it's been great.
Shifting. Yeah, that's fine. So you want to ban two eye safeties?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I'm open to any rule changes.
So
you know?
We want to play cover two man, two over the top?
No. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think what he's saying is you ban it outright. I think he was saying you put certain restrictions on it. I'd be interested to hear the full baked argument and see what it looks like. I'm not going to rule it out.
So let's help the offense even more in the NFL. We've done the last 15 years in the NFL,
that I agree with,
is helped out the offense. So let's help them out even more. Because, oh my God, they can't throw a deep shot. Yes, you can. How about you get your offense coordinators to learn how to scheme up some plays? Put some pressure on the defense. Learn how to attack a cover two-man defense. Because guys not hitting a deep shot.
I love how angry it makes you.
I'm not just like, Mel Kiper Jr., please. Last thing I needed today was to hear from that guy. Good Lord. You run out of hair gel? Did CVS run out of hair gel? Where's he go shopping for his hair gel?
It's getting older. Hair's fading.
I mean, Mel, dude, why is he on? And by the way, we're in the midst of the regular season. Why is he on television right now? The draft's not until April. Aren't you so? Should it be cramming tape?
It's always draft season.
Should it be cramming tape?
Stock up, stock down. Miller Moss.
When you're a first ballot Hall of Famer to a contributor of the NFL, you know, I want to hear your opinions come week three.
He's just well rounded that way.
I love it.
I just never heard anything dumber. Like Spinotti, come on, man, help me! Like I know this is a man, come on, man. We're talking about banning two high safeties because a couple of weeks, offenses are struggling. How about playing the preseason, get your rhythm right?
That's a cop out. I don't want to hear there's an element of that I agree with, but it's not the main reason why offenses are down.
I didn't say it was, but come on, man.
Offense is down. Can we agree?
Are you guys enjoying the product itself the first 2 weeks? Are you guys enjoying the football?
So this is what I would say to you. I said, I think there's just, and I'm guilty of this. I'll raise my hand. There's just way too many young quarterbacks and inexperienced offensive coordinators and inexperienced head coaches right now. Like I could not stand the retread, right? In terms of the retread hire. But then I take a step back and I'm like, I mean, you know, Andy Reid was a retread. He's doing pretty freaking good. You know, the retread, Raheem Morris, let's see, right? Like, I think too many times we go the Canales route. He's the guy who's running the Carolina right now. And I don't know. Is he any good or not? I have no idea, right? And then we're playing all these young quarterbacks. Right. And I get why you would. Your fan base wants to see, for example, they don't want to see Andy Dalton. They want to see Bryce Young. I get that. Like, believe me, I get that. But I also understand that, like, Bryce looks really overwhelmed right now. You know, Bo Nix looks really overwhelmed right now. Caleb Williams looks really overwhelmed right now. And that's a combination of things. Guys, you know, they're young. Their offenses aren't great. They're with coaches that we don't know if they're any good right now. The game has never been faster. You know, I think the big element of why offenses are down, and this is something that I've been thinking about, I look at all the sports. Is the skill or the development better now than ever? I don't know, but I do know this: the modern athlete is faster and bigger than ever before. And just look around. I'm not saying their skill is better, but their height, weight, speed has never been more explosive. And so what that ends up doing is it creates the field of play to feel smaller than ever, right? And so, like, if you can close out half a step quicker on every single play, those windows are tighter. Yeah. You know, those inches on the field you're fighting for even more aggressively. I mean, it is what it is. So I'm looking at offenses and I'm saying to myself, like, dude, this is the natural evolution of all the sports.
Right.
Where I look at basketball, the 96-foot fit. When you go to a basketball game and you sit in the front row, these guys are humongous. They